enormous shelf of booze.
I think we've got enough stuff here that I should be okay.
You want the Tanqueray or the Bombay? Decision time.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll go. Maybe we'll go Bombay. You know why I say that?
Yeah.
Ah! For comedy purposes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave, along with Fred and Jason.
Yeah, I'm Fred and Jason. What's going on with this?
Jason is fooling around with my lazy Susan.
Get back to work, Susan.
Yeah, yeah. Leave her alone, all right?
Anyway. What were you going to say? I love things that...
I don't know.
Rotate?
Laziness? I don't know. All things Susan?
The reason I did that
was
so that you would be front and center for your introduction.
Oh, I see. So it was all for my benefit.
Yeah.
Ah, you see.
But now, we're the new setup.
Yeah.
Where it's all about me.
Well, yeah, no, you're
I'm in the middle. I should maybe sit back a little bit. Maybe I don't want to, you know.
It should be even all the way around. But people don't want to hear microphone talk for the fourth or fifth week in a row.
No, they want to hear about cocktails and drinking and fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
let's get on to that. So,
all right.
Well,
what do we have in store?
This is a surprise to everybody but Jason. He's kept us in the dark.
Yeah, you know, he places cards very close.
Oh, he is. But it adds to the spontaneity, don't you think?
Yeah. Well,
these are real reactions. Like, what the hell are you making? That's a real reaction. That's not scripted.
Yeah.
A lot of people think this is scripted, and I have to constantly correct them.
Really? Who thinks this is scripted?
It's just people.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, not people listening to the show.
And I'm correcting them a lot on other things, too, so it's not just this. It's really people are just so stupid.
Oh, did Dave say what the show is called?
No, he didn't even say what episode it is. I'm not...
I didn't say Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
Yeah, you probably did. I'm so concerned with turning the lazy Susan.
I thought maybe we had an episode title as well, because often we do.
Yeah, we usually come up with that after. Because we never know where this is going to go.
But I think this is going to be Cognacity Yak.
Oh.
Don't talk back. Okay.
Because both cognac. These drinks have cognac.
Oh. Look, do we have enough cognac?
I think so. I hope so.
Because that's all. I feel like I could use a lot of cognac right now.
Well, we also have some Dubonnet. We have some creme de cacao. We have some Taboo Absinthe. Okay. And we're going to also need some dry gin. I forgot to take it off of Dave's enormous shelf of booze.
I think we've got enough stuff here that I should be okay.
You want the Tanqueray or the Bombay? Decision time.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll go. Maybe we'll go Bombay. You know why I say that?
Yeah.
Ah! For comedy purposes.
But the good news is the Jimi Hendrix electric vodka.
Oh yeah.
Bottle that fell over.
Indestructible.
Survive. That's how tough he is.
That's not very much.
Yeah, that's not very much.
We better use a Tanqueray.
Do you have enough Tanqueray?
Oh, I've got... Well, I don't know. It's only 3 barrels.
That's right. Fortunately, it comes in a tank.
It comes in a tank. Yeah.
Is that where the name came from?
It could be. I don't really know.
It's supposed to look like a fire plug, right?
Right?
This is what the design is. This is a British fire plug.
What's a fire plug?
A fire hydrant is what we call it here in North America. Okay. But the British call it a fire plug.
Oh. Why does it look like a fire plug?
Because gin comes out of fire plugs in England.
Oh, that's why I love it. I love England.
I don't know the backstory.
For that very reason.
See, now, if my cousin had done the research, he would know.
He'd have been all over that.
We know that there's gin in it. He knows what the bottle design is. That's the difference between David Dedrick and Jason Dedrick.
Well, we'll get David to chime in.
But yeah, that's a fire plug.
Yeah.
Now, this is a big fat one because it's the big, the 3-liter mega jar, the Costco mega jar. What was this? Was it only a liter and a half or was it 2 liters? I forget.
1.75?
Oh, maybe.
It's a bunch.
I got to put on my Look at Tiny Stuff lenses. 1.75 liters, yes. So I think the actual Tanqueray bottle, or Tanqueray, is it Tanqueray or Tanqueray? It's sort of that funny Q good.
I've always said Tanqueray.
Mm. Me too.
I don't know.
Because it's definitely a Q in it.
Yeah.
Well, if you know, write in.
Leave a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Correct us.
Oh, we love being corrected.
Admonished, criticized.
We've been very bad, and we should be punished, is what I'm saying.
It says Charles Tanqueray began distilling in 1830, and yeah. Tanqueray Gin continues his legacy of excellence. The highest quality spirit and finest botanicals picked at the peak of their freshness.
Yeah, so somebody's picking botanicals, and well, they're putting them in a wheelbarrow and then running down to the gin plant and just throwing them into a big barrel?
I guess.
Or a tank?
That's how Charles wanted it.
Yeah, okay.
So,
sounds unlikely.
Here's where the whole chaos happened and why we don't know what we're drinking, except for me, because I have the book. Beach Bum Berry's Potion of the Caribbean once again rears its head.
Oh, Caribbean.
Yeah, or the Caribbean.
Oh. Yeah.
Whatever you like.
We did this for Valentine's Day when we were trying to find pink drinks, and then I had a hard time finding pink drinks.
Yeah, but you found them.
I did. And then you had said, why don't we do some sort of red drink? And I don't know, colored drinks as a theme seem to be kind of lame, especially when you have a great wordplay like cognacity yak.
Yeah, no, that's way better.
And it's doubly good because that was written for the coasters.
Yes.
And we will be using coasters.
Oh, there you go.
See how it comes around in a big circle?
Yeah, makes
perfect this
sense.
Whoever wrote this week's episode, brilliant.
Yeah. Oh. Complete synchronicity.
Yeah, no. This stuff doesn't happen by accident.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's only through planning. Weeks and weeks of planning.
And so one of the ones, though, we did want to do was the Errol Flynn's Pick Me Up.
Oh.
Yeah, wasn't that an ambulance?
at the end of his life, wasn't.
Right. Which, as we said previously, was right here in the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia.
Yeah, right in Dave's basement.
Yeah.
No?
I did CPR, it just wouldn't take. Sorry, Errol.
Yikes.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how, he wasn't very old when he died, right? 57 or something like that?
Yeah, it depends on who the age of the people listening.
Right.
That's so old.
Yeah, I know. If you're 20-something, he had it coming.
Yeah, he'd done all he could do. His time was up.
People back then always looked much older than they really were.
Yeah.
It seems that way.
I hold on to that. Yeah. That's what keeps me going.
I think I saw that black and white film. It just ages you.
That's right.
The Technicolor can't be that good for you either.
Ooh, not for me.
And here it says, subsequent biographies, I guess there was a book called Wicked, not the musical.
No.
My Wicked, Wicked Ways. Oh. Sorry, that was it.
But Wicked's good, too.
And it was his autobiography.
Right.
You should probably read that. I bet that's pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of drinking in there.
In it, he freely admits his past as a member of a homicidal Sydney street gang.
What?
Yeah.
I don't like him at all anymore.
As a latter-day slave trader in New Guinea... And as a family man who barred his wife and children from their Hollywood home because they interfered with the orgies he threw there for his stuntman buddies.
Oh,
wow. Which he watched through a two-way mirror. And he put this in his autobiography?
This is the stuff he thought was okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because it says in subsequent biographies, the truth they uncovered was even wilder. It says that Errol Flynn had sex with girls as young as 13. And boys as young as 17.
All right.
He would be in trouble nowadays.
I just heard people.
I could hear people
unsubscribing to our podcast right at this moment.
Yeah.
What are these guys talking about?
So we're not saying that this is okay.
No, we don't condone this at all.
No. Okay, good. I want to get that out in the open.
He was truly wicked.
One of Flynn's best friends was a Nazi secret agent, and I believe that he is suspected of being a Nazi secret agent, too, isn't he?
My God. My God,
are you trying to get us a libel suit from the estate of Errol Flynn? You're going to be hauled into court if you don't shut up.
It's Beach Bum Berry that's saying it, so it's got to be true.
True. I mean, it's public, on public record, but still.
It says the richer Flynn got, the cheaper he got, and he walked out of restaurants refusing to pay the bill, and the waiters were too nervous to go after him.
Wow,
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe we shouldn't do that cocktail.
Apparently David Niven once said of him, you can count on Errol Flynn, he'll always let you down.
Maybe we should do the David Niven cocktail.
Yeah, maybe. I think he had a cleaner life.
Anyway, apparently sometimes Errol Flynn would get a little down.
Okay, yeah. And then what would happen?
I don't know. He'd need to be picked back up. And so they believe this is the work of Sloppy Joe's bartender, Fabio Delgado Fuente. Sloppy Joe's is a famous bar in Cuba.
Ah.
Havana, Cuba.
Oh, that Cuba.
Yeah. And so...
And so...
I'm trying to think, is Sloppy Joe's also where Hemingway hung out? Do you know that Hemingway archivist, Fred Partridge?
I thought it was somewhere else.
No, I don't
think. I don't think it was.
What I will tell you is he definitely drank there. Because he definitely drank everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's not his hangout, but I know, I remember hearing about it, and so I believe he was there. But that's because he was a lush. He'd have to stop every 20 feet to have another drink.
Right. Well, if Errol Flynn was drinking in Cuba,
mm-hmm.
he possibly had this drink.
Mm. Sure.
It says here, in an interview shot by filmmaker William Knight shortly before Fabio, the bartender's mm-hmm. death in 2004, the Catanero doesn't mention this drink, but he does say he invented a special martini for Errol Flynn.
Mm.
But that recipe has not yet surfaced.
What?
But there is this one, and this is what we are going to drink.
Now?
Yes.
Oh.
I think Errol Flynn drank rum and coke, so...
yeah. Good point.
But Errol Flynn's pick-me-up
mm-hmm.
that worked every time, except for that one morning when he died.
Right.
Is this one, which has 1.5 ounces of cognac, 1.5 ounces of Dubonnet, which I think was somehow affiliated with the Queen Mum. It was like the Queen Mum's favorite thing.
Yeah, I think so. That and gin martinis.
Yeah. It's like,
and she lived to be, what, 100 and something?
I think she was 101.
No.
And then she died in that skiing accident.
That's right. No, she should never go out of bounds. Yeah. I think, you know, it's a lesson that everybody should learn.
That was our friend Tom Saunders joke. Because at first I was at work that day.
Yeah.
And it was on the news, right? The Queen Mum died. And I told a girl, a very young girl that we were working with. Not Errol Flynn young. But I said to her, oh my gosh, the Queen Mum died. And she said, oh my God, of what? And I said, of being 101 too long. You mean of what?
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
And when I told the story to Tom, Tom's punchline was, in a skiing accident. What do you think? He's 101 years old.
Wow. Tom's got a bit of an edge.
He does. Poor Melissa, she's only like 21 at the time.
Mm.
So, 1.5 ounces of cognac, 1.5 ounces of Dubonnet, 6 drops of Pernod, but we're going to use the taboo from...
Absinthe.
Yes. Because as we always say, absinthe...
No, as you always say.
You. In fact, I said it earlier before we actually hit the record button.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Dave gets credit for the...
He does. He does.
Pun this time around. We're not even going
to
say it.
No. You're going to leave it up to people's imagination.
And then the secret frothing ingredient, egg white.
Oh, where'd you get that?
I know a chicken.
Lays eggs for cheap.
Oh, on the side?
Yeah, Errol Flynn hooked me up with a chicken.
Very young chicken. A chick, actually.
That's all I'm saying.
My name's Little Pete, not Fred.
Would you like to try an Errol Flynn pick-me-up, guys?
Oh,
I don't know. Okay.
Now, this is interesting, right? And we got absinthe, and because we did Pernod, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. 6 drops.
Yep.
Just there to make you go, Have you had Dubonnet recently? Have you had Dubonnet, Dave?
I've had it in cocktails.
I think I've had it before, but
I've got a bottle. I've been working my way through it with different things, but never on its own.
Right. And then the cognac.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever had those things together before.
No, you probably haven't. But today you will.
Oh, great.
I'm going to mix it up right here.
My timing is perfect.
Yeah.
Would you like some ice?
I will have some ice.
It's all the way over there.
I should have told you guys what we were doing, because somebody could have spouted off a bunch of Errol Flynn history here that wasn't such a sordid... Although I think he was doing something sordid in Vancouver when he died.
Oh, yeah.
Your 15-year-old mistress with him or something. You know,
yeah.
Creepy.
No, yeah.
No?
Yeah, no, it's all true. Yeah. None of it's good.
No.
I regret the whole idea now. What was the other one I wanted to do?
The Josephine Baker.
Yeah, she's, you know, okay.
The young stripper.
What? No, that was just, she just happened to sing naked.
Oh, well.
What's next, a Charles Manson martini?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, Errol Flynn was Australian. Does that help?
I always thought he was British. I was surprised that he was part of the Sydney gang because I thought he was British.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that explains a lot, right? Or not, you know, if you happen to be Australian and listening to this, first of all, welcome.
That's right. And just click the unsubscribe button, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just at the bottom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, he did become a U.S. citizen. So, you know, so he was legit or something. But, yeah, 1959 he passed away, which is only 59 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, nothing, I don't know. I'm starting to, you know, I always thought Errol Flynn was kind of cool.
Right.
I have to say. I thought he was just maybe a little misunderstood.
We might only be doing one drink.
Oh.
This time around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or, you know what?
What? What are you going to do?
We're just going to have smaller drinks, guys.
Smaller drinks.
Yeah, we're not going to
drink. That's not Errol Flynn life.
We're not going to double the recipe this time.
No? We're going to single the recipe? What are you doing? What's that? What are you doing?
What?
Huh?
He's pouring it back.
I'm putting this back in here for the next drink. This will not be in the episode.
I've never seen...
I guess I should stop recording.
Yeah, that should be the proper amount for the... with a single serve drink.
Okay. So apparently Errol Flynn had mirrors and hiding places in his mansion with trap doors over a guest bedroom so he could watch people from different places.
Hell.
Yeah.
Nice.
The funny
I'm going to find another...
if he's got all of this weird time on his hands...
Yeah.
Like, was he even at his parties? He just...
No, I think he just disappeared.
He's just fine. If he's like Gatsby. You don't know who he is.
It said many of the bathrooms had peepholes... Or two-way mirrors.
He's a complete pervy.
Yes.
Yikes a doodle.
And when he needed to be picked up.
Yeah, this is.
Well, yeah.
So what have you got there?
Egg white.
Get out of here. Look at that. Oh, that's a bunch.
Yeah. Well, it was two.
All right.
But now it's.
Now it's one.
Because we're doing the proper proportions.
Yeah.
And sharing it out.
Well, it's just as well. We don't want to be Errol Flynn.
No. No, that's a good point.
So, you know. Discretion is the better part of valor.
That was one of Errol Flynn's movies.
I think it might have been, and I apologize again.
This is our first drink with egg white.
Is it?
You just walked out of the shop. Thanks.
Oh, that's for dramatic effect.
You're as dependable as Errol Flynn.
You gotta shake it hard because you wanna get it all frothed up.
Oh, yeah, you
don't.
That's true.
You don't want to get the egg.
Oh, you can hear it turning into
butter.
Butter. No, I don't think egg white turns into butter.
Mm. All right.
You're thinking of ice cream.
So see how frothy.
Oh, it is super frothy.
Yeah.
It smells good. Which,
get
you know.
A picture of a froth.
You can get a frothy photo.
Yeah.
And then we'll
pour?
We'll pour.
Oh, do we get a garnish?
There's no garnish. This is back
for the froth. You don't need garnish with froth.
Errol Flynn refused.
He refused all garnish? It's wasteful.
I need that book because I see disaster happening.
There we go.
So you see, this was one that I thought was going to be pink.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually kind of a brown, beigey.
Sort of skin tone.
Yeah, I guess.
Which is why he would like it. Well, that looks like about the right size for a pick-me-up. I think.
I think so. And,
all right.
Yeah, no, I've tried this at home because I...
Oh,
because
you don't... You just wanted to make sure you had it.
What?
What? had it just right. You didn't want to make any mistakes? Because that's not like you.
No, I love making mistakes. Like not bringing enough cognac.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't judge volume in tiny bottles. But we still get the idea, right?
Oh, it looks great. No, I think there's a lot there.
There we go.
It's all foamy. It looks like a milkshake.
Yeah. Mm. And so the egg white...
Dave's already dived in.
Egg white should give you a different mouth feel.
Yeah.
Should be kind of silky. Mm. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Very smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's good with the pancakes and eggs.
It's a morning drink.
It is.
Of all the ones we've had, I think this is more of a morning drink than anything else.
It possibly is.
Yeah.
And it is called a pick-me-up. And so Errol Flynn, when he got up at 3 in the afternoon after his wild night of
spying on his friends. And
at the Vancouver Police Museum, they have an Errol Flynn display there. Not Errol Flynn.
Oh, good. That's what I was worried about.
They mailed him back home.
Oh, yes. Well, what would be part of that display?
Well, I think they had, like, the autopsy table.
Really?
Yeah.
They saved it.
Well, I don't know if there's so much that they saved it, or the Vancouver morgue at the time only had one. And so,
yeah. They eventually had to upgrade.
So
you guys want this? Errol Flynn was once on it.
I think it's still some of his blood.
Yes.
Or is it, I don't know.
Sliced up and...
Sorry, it's getting a bit graphic.
It is a little graphic. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't eat on the microphone.
Oh, right, sorry. I grabbed the popcorn. Sorry, folks.
Errol Flynn was a big one for grabbing popcorn right away, too. So the Dubonnet comes through, I think. Something sort of gives it the illusion of gin in my mind, but I don't know. I don't know what that is, because the cognac certainly does not taste like gin. The cognac has a brandy, tastes like a brandy.
Mm-hmm. No, I get the brandy, sort of almost an eggnoggy.
Well, which coincidentally was the name of Errol Flynn's mistress, Brandy.
She's a fine girl. What a fine wife you would be.
I'm surprised how much absinthe is coming through.
Well,
what?
I'm going to tell you something about the absinthe.
Oh.
And it's not going to come as a surprise to you.
Yeah.
Because if you were listening to the show earlier.
Nope.
Oh. I started to make this drink, and I was doubling it until I found out that I didn't have enough to double it.
Oh.
So this actually has double the absinthe that you would probably normally have.
Oh,
wow. Instead of 6 drops, it has probably 12 drops.
12 drops?
Yes.
That's insane.
It is. So it comes up, but it's not too much.
No,
I kind of like it.
I do like it. Yeah, no.
But this is a very good absinthe. That stuff I have at home when I tried it is that garbage Czechoslovakian stuff.
No.
And it...
Yeah, this is the Taboo, which I noticed that at least one of the bars downtown, our good friends at Botanist, I believe they had Taboo.
Wouldn't it be neat if we actually had good friends at Botanist?
I know.
Yeah. We're trying.
We don't have friends.
No. All of our good friends are here right now.
That's right. I'm not even convinced David Dedrick listens.
Oh, I'm sure David Dedrick listens.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. Glad I haven't said anything bad about him.
No, I don't say anything bad about him. He's a wonderful guy.
Oh, well.
In fact, if you're
I was going to
give a very time sensitive announcement. I've already lost it. But it doesn't work in that this won't actually go up until after the event happens.
No.
But I'll tell you on a personal level.
I'd like to know.
If you want to see my cousin Dave.
I might.
You go down to Kids Books in Vancouver.
Oh, I'm not going to Vancouver. because of his kids book.
Yeah, the release of the book Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Boothby wrote it. Nina Matsu. Oh, I'm sorry, Nina. I don't remember your name.
So what's David got to do with it?
He colored it.
Colored it.
Well, anybody can do that with a Crayola.
No, I should ask him about it because it's interesting to me that there's colorists of comics.
There is, right? Yes. Right. I jest.
I'm sure you jest.
Just out of ignorance.
But I imagine it's still done on a computer and it's going to be shading and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. On a computer?
On a computer, you say?
My word. What's next?
So, yes, promote my dear cousin's, the book that he had a hand in doing.
Yeah.
Well, Sparks.
Sparks.
It's about two cats that dress in a robot dog suit and solve
crime.
We've had actually, haven't we put that up on our website already?
We did.
When I say we, of course, I mean you.
I know. And by yes, I mean me. But yes, that's what's up there.
Oh,
so there you go. So yeah, go on, unless you're in rehearsal. Dave, Fred's doing another play.
Yeah, is he? He's also texting, apparently, and researching when not paying attention to this podcast.
No, I'm paying complete attention. I just wanted to get the...
Nina's name, Nina Matsumoto.
Yeah, just want to make sure we got Nina.
So she's the artist, and she designs a bunch of other stuff, too. Colorist David Edrick, Scholastic's new graphic novel, Sparks. So there you go.
This is good. I'm going to save a little bit of this. Just a little comparo later.
Oh, I was going to say something. Because we're cocktail professionals.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What now? Who?
All right.
Oh, you mean that news reporter?
Oh, no, we should say that too. But no, I was going to say that we're cocktail professionals.
In what way?
Well, we drink a lot.
Hey, if that makes you a cocktail professional, I'm all in. That's all I'm saying.
And I was reading that wonderful new book that I have, Liquid Intelligence.
Oh, I'm feeling smarter already.
Well, sure. And, of course, a cocktail is not designed to be savored in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
They're a small amount to knock it back.
Yeah, if you've got a traditional cocktail, the volume is actually quite small. It could be like 3 or 4 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's chilled, you want to get her done.
Get her done. So by letting your egg white omelet here sit, could possibly be a bad thing.
Well, yeah, but I'd still like to do a head-to-head comparison of whatever we do next. So,
true, good for you. What was the verdict from the other room?
Well, unfortunately, my wife gave it kind of a thumbs down, but Fred sort of poisoned her taste buds just before the podcast by giving her a straight absinthe. So
I thought
it was. She went, awful.
I thought it was sweet. My memory.
Told her was sweet, but of course, alcohol sweet is not the same as chocolate sweet.
No.
This is true.
Made a difference.
And it's barely sweet, plus it's 60% alcohol, so you really don't want to knock it back. Or you do, but it helps if you're prepared.
I thought it was she heard us talking about what a slime ball Errol Flynn actually was and said, I'm not interested in drinking that drink.
No.
But I don't think many people are. They may want to rename this.
Yeah.
Well, the other drink comes from Sloppy Joe's as well.
Get out of here. Maybe Sloppy Joe's should be sponsoring us.
Yes.
Or maybe we should sponsor him so he can come over here from Cuba.
This is called the Nightcap. This is how Errol Flynn used to drug his guests.
Oh, no.
No, it's entirely unrelated. This is a fun pre-World War II. That's the best thing about these drinks, right? They're time traveling.
Remember how nice it was pre-World War II?
Oh.
Yeah.
Just coming out of the Depression.
Yeah.
You could drink freely if you had a job. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
And even in the Depression, maybe you could get a job in the Hoover Dam.
Sure. Yeah. Or you'd be rolling in clover.
Or maybe you'd steal a pie. Just travel the rails with your bum friends.
I'd steal a pie in a heartbeat.
Oh.
Especially a cherry pie.
Sure you would.
Mm.
You got cherry pie thief written all over you. Oh, God, let's just reminisce here for a while.
Nazis weren't as bad as, they weren't that bad, we thought.
Oh, God. This is a rough episode.
Errol Flynn to Hitler.
Sorry.
Fred is choking.
Well, it's a popcorn.
There's a drink in this book called Hitler's Jitters. We should have done that.
Oh, man. Our evil men
episode. We'll do the Mussolini-Hitler cocktail episode.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we can have a whole... who won the Italian election? Are there fascists running Italy?
Probably.
Again?
They didn't get enough to form like a... I don't think in Italy you can ever really form a majority government. You always have to align yourself with some other party.
Oh, okay.
But they did pretty well.
Yeah.
Which is
a
little disheartening, actually.
Yeah, it is a little.
The fascists are coming back.
Yeah, time to get your bunker scooped out.
A bit of a kick in the bum.
Yep. What do you got there?
I just wanted to see what was Hitler's Jitters.
And why is it called Hitler's Jitters?
This is called...
He didn't actually drink it, did he?
Is it his favorite tiki drink?
No, I think they called it Hitler's Jitters because he was getting jittery because of whatever's going on.
The Yanks are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he should be.
Yeah.
And the Russians.
Yeah, and the Russians.
I think they kind of feared them more.
Well, you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was hoping you were going to continue to talk while I was trying to read what they called it.
I was going to say some stuff about the Russians during World War II, and I thought, that's another dark path we don't want to go down.
Yeah. Stalin was no saint himself, you know.
Got rum, lime juice, creme de cacao, and sugar syrup. So we actually could do Hitler's juice pretty easily. So if we could find a Hitler's thing and something to do with somebody else, we could do a nice...
Memorial Day?
That'll be perfect, wouldn't it?
It's Remembrance Day. But the nightcap, pre-World War II heyday, this was actually from a recipe pamphlet from Sloppy Joe's in 1935.
Oh.
And they call it the nightcap. And I have not tried this one.
Oh.
And so I'm intrigued by it.
What's in it?
It has 3/4 ounce of white creme de cacao.
Oh, we got that.
Right there.
Uh-huh.
3/4 ounce of cognac.
Just barely.
Just barely. 3/4 ounce of dry gin.
Yeah, we're right on track there.
And 3/4 ounce of fresh lime juice.
Oh, one of those 1-to-1-to-1s.
1-to-1-to-1-to-1. 1-to-1-to-wonderful.
Mm-hmm. 1-to-1-to-wonderful, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm going to rinse this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what did I make? I made a Golden Dawn just the other day, and that's got a lot of good stuff in it. Oops, in
the Golden Dawn. How ironic, because Golden Dawn is also the name of the Greek fascist party.
What
is it with you, Fred? I'm going to bring up all the terrible things of the 1930s.
I've got to...
And all the fascists of today. Yeah.
I just, I want to be on the winning side for once. What can I tell you?
Now what are you doing? Now you're on your phone again.
No, I'm going to look for the Golden Dawn cocktail because I'm trying to remember what's in it. Oh, that's right. It's got that Calvados. So I had to crack open my new bottle of Calvados. It's got apricot brandy.
Well, it doesn't take much of an excuse to break open the Calvados.
I was literally looking for an excuse to crack open my new bottle of Calvados.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got apricot brandy and freshly squeezed orange juice. You can buy it in a jug. And, it's not that I don't drink orange. I mean, I'll drink orange juice out of a jug, but if you're going to make a cocktail, grab an orange. Give it a squeeze.
It's
worth the effort. You got nothing but time on your hands, and you've got a drawer full of oranges.
Of course, because you're a gentleman of elegant leisure. You've got nothing but time.
That's right. You've got all citrus is in your crisper drawer. You got oranges, you got limes, you got lemons.
You got a lot of fun.
You got a pineapple tree outside your house. You go up and pick a fresh pineapple?
Yeah.
I think.
If you live in Costa Rica?
Yeah. I'm sure we might eventually one day have blisters in Costa Rica. They just walk out. I know I was talking to a guy, I think I mentioned it before. He got a lime tree outside his house.
Really?
He's in Phoenix.
Wow. Does he eat the limes off of it?
No. Yeah, he says. He likes the stuff in the little plastic bottle. No, it's like having an apple tree, right? You need a lime, but you've got 200 limes, and so you've got an apple tree. Suddenly, you don't. For the longest time, you have no apples.
Yes.
And then suddenly, you've got 500 apples. You better eat them right away because they're going to turn. Or hit the ground, and then the raccoons are going to come and eat them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do raccoons come and eat a citrus fruit?
I don't get the feeling that animals like citrus. That's my gut feeling.
Wow.
I think it's too tart for their little tiny furry faces. I know my mother's tried to feed the birds with some old oranges and stuff.
Right, and they're like,
no. It's British Columbia. We don't even know what this is. What are you trying to make us eat, old lady? Sorry, Mom. Sorry if you're listening. Just kidding.
She listens all the time.
I know.
She's one of our biggest commentators.
No.
So the neat thing about this drink is it's one of those equal proportion ones. It's 3/4 ounce of white creme de cacao, 3/4 ounce of cognac, 3/4 ounce of dry gin, and 3/4 ounce of fresh lime juice.
The creme de cacao and lime juice.
Yeah. It's going to be like the 20th century. Did we do that on the show?
Well, I love the play.
Oh, there you go. Thanks for
everything. Sounds like the sort of cocktail we would do.
It does seem like the sort of thing we would do.
Yeah. Next time I'm going to bring the list.
And check it twice?
And check it twice. I have to. I think it's 2 pages now.
Oh, it's got to be at least 2 pages.
Yeah. But what episode was this?
What?
What episode are we doing right now?
I think this is 46.
This is episode 46.
Yeah.
We've been doing this since we were children.
Oh, man, I remember that. Yeah, it wasn't even legal for me to buy booze when we started this.
No, back in the heyday of pre-World War II.
We had to hang out in front of the liquor store to get an adult to go in.
Hey, buddy. I'll give you an extra $5 if you get me a bottle of old granddad.
So this...
Hey, but, also frothy. Does this have egg white in it?
This does not have egg white in it.
But how's it... how'd you get the...
I just didn't clean the egg white out of the previous drink. No, I cleaned it out.
Yes, no, it's we're all about food safety here.
That's raw chicken broth. You're confusing egg broth with raw chicken broth. That's just the broth you get when you...
When you squeeze a chicken too hard?
Yep. This is a refreshing change because it's a yellow drink.
Yeah.
We haven't had a yellow drink in months. Every drink we've had has been red.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
So this is a good point. This is it's elegant, isn't it?
Oh, it's very elegant.
Oh, well, it's served in a coupe glass.
Oh, sure, it's a fancy.
Served in a coupe glass.
Laura was so unhappy when she said, "Oh, we got some new glasses," and I said, "Yep, I'm taking them to Dave's house." She said, "Oh, how come we're not getting?" But anyway, cheers. Thanks, Laura. She'll be listening to this in about a month. She's a little behind.
I can smell the cacao.
Yeah. You get the cacao right off.
So it's like you're going to be drinking some warm, hot chocolate as you drift off to sleep.
Surprise! What?
Wow.
That is good.
And the lime comes through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the chocolate.
Mm-hmm. One?
I don't think I can compare this to the other drink.
No, I think it's completely different.
And so off in left field.
Yeah, no, that's nice.
It's got you got a sort of a gin finish. Mm. Yeah.
Does it have a gin finish?
A little bit.
I guess it does.
Like once everything's gone, all the rest of it's gone, mm-hmm. you count 1, 2, 3, gin.
I love that game. Let's play 1, 2, 3, gin.
I'm trying to think what that it reminds me of. It's sort of like those fancy chocolates where you get. And it's like a chocolate, and they say, plus it's got lime in it.
Mm.
And hot peppers. We don't have hot peppers. You could put hot peppers in this. Wouldn't that be great?
Actually, it probably would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, have an arrow be something or other.
Yeah.
A little shot of hot sauce. It's like a Terry's lime.
Yes, exactly.
Terry made a lime.
Mm-hmm.
We can only get it at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. We're just hanging a little bit of hot sauce in here, just to spice it up a little bit. Get a little, maybe some flecks of cayenne or something like that.
Maybe,
that might be better.
Maybe a flea, or just a little bit.
Dave's out. Dave's out. He said, nope, not for him.
But there's something about it that makes me,
yeah.
Although I'm afraid that if it had just that hint of spice to it, mm-hmm. you'd just drink it all night.
I think I might have some cayenne pepper. Do you want to try it with? Cayenne pepper?
Yeah, sure. Let's try it.
If I can find it.
If you can find it.
If you can't find it, I'm not interested.
You can hire them. What was it on the A-team?
If you can find them, you can hire them?
Yeah, but it was longer than that.
Oh, I don't...
And you can find them. You can hire them. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah, no, that is nice. The nightcap. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't know how official it is, because sometimes I find these... the ones like they say here, mm-hmm. it's a Sloppy Joe souvenir pamphlet.
Yeah.
There's like no other reference to it.
No.
Oh, here's a little bit.
Now, with this one, I think the type of creme de cacao you use will have a big impact on the flavor. Because I'm getting a real strong, you sort of know the McGinnis flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you had a different one, Dave's going in there.
No, this is a try. That's good. Thank you.
It might not make any difference at all.
No.
You might go, oh.
But it makes for a nice garnish. Now it looks like a nice festive punch with the nutmeg mm-hmm. sprinkled on top.
Yep. Not in that tip.
No. It might be better to actually put it into a hot sauce, in a liquid form, to blend it into the thing there. Mm-hmm. And we might not even need it, but...
Yeah, I don't think it really adds much in the way, but nice try.
Yeah, there's something there, though. I think it does benefit from a little spice for the hell of it, but I don't think it needs it.
No.
The nightcap is fine as it is.
It is, but play around with it.
It was the Tonya Harding. Remember that, and that nightcapped Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah. Mm. I remember that.
It was kneecap. That's what it? You were supposed to interrupt.
Oh, can we do the kneecap next time?
Yeah. I'll get Tonya Harding on the phone.
Yeah, she'd be here.
Yeah.
You know, I came across something, and this is, we're all still working on our cocktails here.
As you are at home.
I can only hope. You're playing along. I was hearing something, I read something on another podcast on the comments section.
You listen to other podcasts?
I only read their comments. I have no time for listening.
He only reads other podcasts.
Yes. And this is a CBC podcast, so it's you know.
Professional.
They get
it's
money for it.
It's funded by us.
That's right. Our direct competition.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you can't use music. Like, you can't use a song that's got a copyright on it. You can't use, a theme song or a... Oops. Because podcasts are all over the world. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the rights for all over the world.
Right.
I mean, you could, if it was just a Canadian thing, you could say, well, I can do it through, what's it called?
SOCAN.
You could do a SOCAN thing. But no, because this goes everywhere. Right. And you just can't. It's not even feasible.
Right.
So
we don't have to worry about it.
No, unless we start playing, something by Jimi Hendrix, and then we'll be sued. By countries we've never even heard of.
Well, I remember checking that out, actually, when we started this. So it'll show up way back in 1963. Because, they used to say things like, oh, you're allowed to use 7 seconds of a song without having to pay. But that's not true.
No,
but for some reason that belief is out there.
It's fair use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Not legally.
It doesn't really qualify for commercial purposes, no.
And so I think people hit miss. We have put little short snippets on here, but mm-hmm. we're not making any money off of this. If they would like to
sue us, you'll get nothing.
You will get every penny we made.
Yeah, yep. About 67 cents.
That's right. But the little snippets that we have used.
What have we used?
I've used a little bit of Bing Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Kring Bosby, unrelated.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I think I've put on some from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, they're litigious.
They might be, mm-hmm. but they're funny as hell. So.
Sure, they sure are.
I think there's something off the Tiki albums. We've had some drummy.
Those people don't care. They're okay. They're good people.
Ultra lounge people from Capitol.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But anyway, it's like little snippets.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was just surprised to hear that.
Our big theme that we play at the end of every episode is built into the GarageBand stuff. It's a free-for-all music.
There you go. Royalty-free. You don't write copies.
You could write some of your own music.
I've often thought of that.
Yeah.
I've never done anything about it.
No.
In fact, I was out with Dave one day, and I bought a special thing so that I could hook the keyboard up, because I didn't know if I had a MIDI connection.
Yeah.
And I hope that wasn't 2 years ago.
Probably.
Because it's where I left it.
I think we need a unique theme song just of our own.
Right.
So for next episode?
A brand new theme song?
Yeah.
Okay.
No words.
Mm-mm. How about only words?
Or only words.
Not a lot of shows have a theme poem.
No.
That's nice.
That's where we stand out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just words, no music. Mm-hmm. No theme music, it's just theme words.
Theme words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a chant, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Sorry, I just slugged back the last of
Errol Flynn's
Pick Me Up.
And it still stood up?
It did. It's like having a cocktail in a nice old bed and breakfast somewhere. With your eggs in the morning.
Do you keep saying this because of the egg involved in it?
I don't know. No, it's very smooth.
Oh, okay.
Not. I think that's an egg, but it seems very smooth. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a favorite of the two there, Mr. Coyne?
I'm going to have to go for the nightcap.
No?
I like the nightcap. I think I'd go for the Errol Flynn's horrible, horrible cocktail.
Right. Well, in my true Gemini, see things both ways, fence-sitting way, I want to say that I prefer the nightcap because it is It's I don't know. It's refreshing. It's kind of one of those kind of. It's I
can. It's an agreeable cocktail, I guess. So.
It's agreeable, but it's also I can. It's I think it's yellow. It's the sunshine state. It's that kind of a thing to it.
Right.
And the, but yet I like the Errol Flynn because it's got a slightly oddball flavor profile that is not unpleasant.
You know, you never had before. I don't. But it's unlike
Dubonnet brandy and the egg. Yeah,
I'm starting to get the peppers off of the.
Yeah, pepper was a huge mistake.
I like it's great. I actually like it. I'm getting a little. I think maybe hot sauce might work, but nothing that's got too sharp of a profile.
No, you really just want to get that heat.
Yeah, just the heat, just
you
the cayenne.
You want to make the on the tongue, the side of the tongue go, that's all you want.
So maybe a little more of that, but I like the combo. It's, if you're trying this at home, you know, if you got some cayenne handy, just give it a little shake.
The funny thing is that these drinks seem very, very beyond... they seem exotic is the word I'm looking for, but they're not exotic, the ingredients.
No.
It's like they've made them exotic by making them in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, the white creme de cacao is pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
The cognac is going to be everywhere, and you could probably substitute another brandy for it. And gin and lime juice. I mean, there's nothing breakthrough in this one.
No.
So
no, and that's a good point about the Courvoisier that we used.
Is that what we had, Courvoisier?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a complete waste. but really, it's just a nice brandy.
Yeah.
It's really just brandy that's a little better, maybe.
Maybe. There's some people... And I don't know who they are, and I might have even made them up.
I want to meet these people.
Yeah.
I might have been already talking to them.
I might have pulled out a Donald Trump reference in that it was just like, somebody told me this.
Yeah.
That there's finer brandies than there is cognac, but because cognac is made in the region, right? Cognac has to be made in cognac to be cognac.
Yeah.
But is it any better, per se, than brandy that's made on the other side of the border from cognac? And the guy's like, this is... This poor Italian man moved to France.
That was his first mistake.
So I don't. But I've heard
that's the sparkling wine champagne argument too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, so maybe we should all switch to brandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I read in Imbibe magazine, but again, not in depth.
What does that mean exactly?
It really means that this podcast, the budget is a shoestring, and the research is thumbnail.
Perfect.
But California has started to make brandies, and they're becoming quite popular, and they're quite...
That makes sense.
They're quite good, yeah.
I'd try that. No, I think that when it comes to... especially when it comes to cocktails, but even when I've had to celebrate... I mean, I've had champagnes, I've had a lot of the biggies, and I've had just regular stuff, and, you know, I didn't celebrate with anything.
I have been disappointed by a good champagne, because it was drier than I wanted it to be, and I was like,
the chances of being disappointed with an expensive bottle of wine is way more than with a cheap bottle of wine, I have to say. No, and I've choked down some, certainly some expensive champagne from time to time. Not that bad, but it's quite dry, and so you know everybody's saying, oh yeah, the fruit notes. They're thinking, oh, I wish I had some baby duck right now.
Yeah, exactly. Some Asti Spumante
nice Prosecco would go down well.
I like a sparkling wine that costs about $5, and that's perfect.
So I think, but if you're making a cocktail, I think you should go at least
$13.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all coming to your place.
I never like champagne. I find it... the dryness I don't like. I find it leaves a strange aftertaste, a stale kind of aftertaste.
No, you're just going, you like Frenet Branca.
I didn't go,
Didn't you?
No, well, I did, but it was more like, interesting. I like it.
No.
Because remember when I said originally...
You need to move your hand like, Bach. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Your match reference.
You're welcome.
For David Ogden Stiers.
Oh, he's great. Oh, great. I just love his stuff. no, I did. He was good work. Well done, right. David Ogden Steers.
Well, he's no Igor. Igor the cook.
No.
Who, by the way, as I informed Jason, invented a Bloody Mary mix. The guy who played Igor.
Really?
Yeah. Well, what do they call it? Chico Rico's Bloody Mary mix?
I think it's Chico Rico. Oh, yeah.
Jeff Maxwell played Igor.
God bless his heart, his entrepreneurial heart.
70 years young.
Yeah. Wow.
And he lives in Jackson, Wyoming?
Or is I think his dream is to move there and ski constantly until he eventually falls over on the slope.
Really needs to get on that.
That's with a Bloody Mary in his hand.
Yes.
Of course.
I tried to look up Chico Rico, and I get a lot of pictures of a Mexican clown.
Maybe it's his mask.
Maybe.
Well, not around anymore?
I don't know if they're still making Chico Rico.
Well, it's worth looking for.
Jeff Maxwell, if you're listening, send us a bottle.
Send us a
big pack of your famous Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Yeah. We'll make a Bloody Mary.
Sure.
Maybe we make a Bloody Mary and a Caesar and compare them next to each other.
Oh, Bloody Mary's going to it sucks.
Yeah, you're right.
It's no contest. We'll just make a Caesar. We'll have two Caesars.
To go, please.
Yeah. Oh, and for you Americans, so sorry. You'll never have one of those fabulous drinks.
Caesar is becoming slightly aware.
A little bit.
I saw there was a show I was watching. Who the hell was it? They got the person over to their house because they had a bunch of old bottles, old cans of Clamato.
Well, I got to use these up. The alcohol will kill any bacteria in it.
What show was it? So you want to come over? No, I don't mind. I have a whole bunch of old Clamato. I'm there. Yep. And then the next scene was them there finishing up tiny cans of Clamato. Which seems like an awful idea, I fully admit. If somebody said to me, I'm going to make you a drink with tomato juice or make you a drink with tomato juice mixed with
clam.
With clam nectar, I would say, I'll go with the tomato juice.
I will always have a soft spot in my heart for the Caesar because it was literally the first drink I ever made. Mm. And it wasn't even for me.
Oh. Who was it for?
I don't know.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
A young, spunky kid called Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. No, it was my first real job after university, and we had a hospitality suite in a hotel.
This is when you worked for Errol Flynn.
When I worked for Errol Flynn as his assistant, and the school bus pulled up outside. I was working in... And we had a bunch of engineers. I guess they had some... I have no idea. I can't remember anymore what the talk was about. So there was something. Anyway, so we had an open bar afterwards. And as the junior guy, it's like, well, you're in charge. You'll make the drinks. And I'm going, the what now? Because at that point, I hadn't really mixed any drinks. I had... I'd had some sparkling wine. I had had... I'd ordered a couple of drinks, like the Tequila Sunrise in... the old spaghetti factory in Gastown. But I'd never made a drink. And so it was like, oh, no, you're in charge. And I'm going, what? And some guy says, oh, I'll have a Caesar. I got a what? And so he said, well, it's like this and like this. And so I made a Caesar. That was the first drink I ever made.
Wow. And how old were you?
Old enough.
Yeah.
No, I was out of university, so I was like 22 or 27, something. It took me an extra long time to get out.
Right. You should have done math at university.
I don't know what I was doing. But I started off doing theater, and that's where it all went wrong.
Right.
And I had switched to chemistry, which was way harder.
Yeah.
As it turns out. But apparently led to me getting a job.
So. Yeah. In an unrelated field.
Yeah, in an unrelated field. If I'd gone on and got my BFA in theater, the nice thing is for 15 years I would have been broke and penniless, but then things would have taken right off.
Yeah. If you got a job.
If I got a job, sure. If I'd stuck to it.
You were hoping to be the next Errol Flynn.
No, not really.
You purchased the one-way glass.
Yeah, I got that far. I got as far as the one-way glass, then I read the fine print.
You had made a bunch of friends that could be maybe a little bit...
I drilled a lot of holes in the wall at my parents' place. My dad wasn't happy about that, so I had to fill them back up with putty.
Mm. Who's that? David Putty?
David Putty?
Yeah. Wow. So, but yeah, so that's the Caesar, and that'll be our next. No, it won't be our next one. That's it's almost too easy. It is too easy.
It is. Well, it is. I mean, is it too
but
easy?
It's great.
Or is it not too easy?
It's like having minestrone. It's like having a nice soup.
You don't shake a Caesar, though, do you? You just pour it all together. You pour in the clamato. You add the vodka.
I think it's just a stirred drink.
Dose it up with the Worcestershire and your Tabasco, and.
What about a celery stick?
Sure.
What about a spicy bean?
Sure, put a spicy bean.
Yeah.
I had a Caesar a couple of weeks ago. It had a spicy bean.
Mm-hmm.
It had a pickle.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It had a prawn.
Mm-hmm.
I think it had some bacon. It had a celery stick. And a filet mignon.
Well, I have one that's at Sammy J's. It's got a slider on it.
It was all... Oh, that's right. Yes. It was all served inside of a turkey.
That sounds perfect.
No.
It does sound like you got all the bases covered when you get that one.
I had this one at... what's it going to call it? In Abbotsford. The... the bistro.
Carl's Jr.
Brodeur's Bistro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For the record, Dave just made a whole face as I said that I went to Brodeur's Bistro.
What's Jennifer have at Brodeur's? She have the poutine? it's vegetables.
She had some poutine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she gets shrimp in a spicy Creole tomato sauce.
That's right. They do the Creole stuff there.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Well, we'll all head there.
And then big, long, garlic bread crisps, so it's thin, like if you made garlic Melba toast, but like about 6 inches long.
I've had garlic Melba toast. It's not that good.
Don't think of it as garlic Melba toast.
Oh.
Think of it thin like garlic Melba toast.
Oh, okay.
But it's just really thin, sort of crispy bread.
Okay.
And you dip it into that Creole sauce. Oh!
Did you bring any?
I didn't. But I had it up until recently, because you get a whole big order with it at Brodeur's Bistro.
Oh.
And I had the tortiere.
Oh, we should go there. What's that? That's raw sheep's brain.
Raw sheep's brain.
Yeah.
And it's thrown at you from the kitchen. Lovingly thrown at you from the kitchen.
As only from a professional
Monsieur
chef Brodeur. Can do.
Monsieur Brodeur. No, tortiere is the French-Canadian ground beef, basically. Although sometimes a little bit of pork. Probably sometimes a little bit of something else. Meat pie. It's a meat pie.
We're going to have a little more popcorn here.
Sure, have a little bit of popcorn. Dave and I've
gotten hungry, haven't you? Just listening to what Jason ate at Brodeur's Bistro.
Yeah, that's the trick with this show, is we always do it before dinner, and we're starved to death.
I'm easily suggestible. I'll be watching a TV show, and they'll be eating, like, noodles, and I'll say to Laura at 11 o'clock, oh, I really want some noodles right now.
It's a good thing you didn't know Errol Flynn.
No.
You can't control your impulse.
No, absolutely not. If I had... Well, actually, I have had noodles. Laura's been buying me a little cup of noodles so I can get over that.
Get over your noodle thing.
My noodle thing. But it'll be... It doesn't really matter. It'll be like, McDonald's is having... It's a $2.50 for your, Egg McMuffin. Oh, I really want an Egg McMuffin right now. Yeah, it doesn't take much.
The worst thing was back in your old neighborhood where you used to live.
Oh, I remember that.
That's a tough place.
There was a McDonald's very near your place.
Oh, yeah. I know. That was bad.
And there was actually a Burger King.
Or great.
And I'm not a huge Burger King fan, but because Mike lived at your folks' place for a while.
That's right.
And I would go over and watch a movie or something with Mike. And if we were watching TV and a Burger King ad came on, I'd go, damn, there's one up the road. And then Mike would say something like, they got the Whoppers, 2-for-1 Whoppers right now. And that was it.
That was it. Oh, well, you got to get them.
So that
are, you, are you glad you did that, though?
I am glad I did that. And then another thing I used to do, and then I would tell people about this later, and they said, don't do that. That's unhealthy. Not the other part.
I'm going to do that now, just hearing that.
I would go to McDonald's on the way to Mike's.
Yep.
And I would order 2 of whatever it was. Probably a quarter pounder with cheese.
You tease them with it? With the way you walk? It smells pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's mine.
No, I would eat one. And I'd leave the other one in the car.
Yep.
And then when I left, there'd be a cold quarter pounder with cheese in the
car.
Nice. And that was so good.
Oh, yeah.
It was all kind of formed into one.
Yeah, it's not as drippy.
Yeah, and it's just sort of a brick.
Nothing wrong with that. Do you ever get sick?
No, I never got sick.
Of course not. There's nothing wrong with that.
No food in it.
It's room temperature. What do you think it gets when it's in your stomach?
Exactly.
And I point exactly.
Yeah, so I would do that often. And then I would told somebody and said, you can't do that. And I said, it's not like I've left raw chicken on the seat and then eaten it.
I think they meant, you shouldn't be eating 2 quarter pounders in a single bite.
That's a good, point.
What the hell are you doing?
That was back when I could do that, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I was the envy of nobody, but boy, I could do it.
The boy with the hollow leg, where all his food went.
Mm-hmm.
Now my leg is full.
Everybody starts out as the boy with the hollow leg.
Yeah,
you end up with the man with the expandable pants.
Mm-hmm.
Just say it.
Yeah. Well, look at the cabinet over here is having a laugh.
That's my laughing cabinet. The clock. Which only keeps every other second.
Is this like the Beauty and the Beast? Is that really used to be your old manservant?
Yeah, it's Tim.
You should have been nicer to that old woman when she came giving you gifts on Christmas Eve or asking for help. I forget the backstory on Beauty and the Beast.
We'll research it and we'll bring it up next time.
That's for Sneaky Dragon. That's not for our podcast.
So that's their specialty.
In fact, the next show, I think Dave isn't even in town for the next show.
What?
I don't know. No, I don't guess I'm not.
Yeah.
Skype?
So do we pull out one of our best of specials?
The archive?
We really need to do a lot more episodes before we can really cobble together a best of.
Director's cut?
A retrospective. This is where we look back.
Our greatest hits package?
A canned episode. Yeah.
Now we'll have a look. I was going to say we should pick a drink right now, but we can't pick a drink right now because we don't know.
We don't know where we're going to be, what we're going to do.
But whatever we do, we'll pick it a week in advance so we can do some research. God damn it.
Isn't that going to be a bit of a shock for everybody listening?
I don't know.
We can only try. See what happens.
I guess.
We used to do it.
We used to, I think. I used to write notes. I had a book somewhere.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah.
That sounds like something people that get paid do.
It's next to the computer at home. There's where I sit. And then on each side of me, there's sort of a pile of notes and books. As I bring them in there to write the blog.
Yeah.
And then they stay in there.
Oh, good.
It just gets higher.
It's going to they're going to collapse on you.
Yeah.
You're going to be killed.
It's like a hoarder's deal.
I found a solution to that. I start putting papers on the chair as well, so you're going up the same height as all the papers.
Oh, that's physical. So you're sitting on it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you reach the keyboard.
I'm going to have to start throwing paper on the underneath the keyboard. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm full of good points.
Yeah. Well, good night.
Good night. Until next time.
Yeah. Got a new sign-off. But yeah, so I think we have a tie?
We have a tie.
Because you couldn't decide? Is that really what it's come down to? Jason?
I'm sorry. I like the nightcap, but I like Errol Flynn's pick-me-up. Maybe I'll choose the nightcap as the better of the two drinks because it doesn't have any shameful
backstory.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Fascist pedophile Errol Flynn.
He's just a horrible human being.
But that Robin Hood. You ever seen that Robin Hood?
Oh, it's great.
Oh.
No, you get him on stage where he can't do anything, and he's fantastic.
In The Rocketeer, Timothy Dalton plays a character kind of Errol Flynn-ish.
Yes, because he's a Nazi sympathizer. Yeah. Whoops. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. As a Hollywood heartthrob.
Mm-hmm. Definitely watch The Rocketeer. If you haven't seen The Rocketeer, they're never going to make a second one. So it's just the one movie.
It's easy to do.
It was supposed to have been 2 or 3, I think. It was the original intention.
Yeah, sure. John Carter from Mars was supposed to be 2 or 3, too.
Yeah.
And it did not work.
What are other ones?
Was Rocketeer not a hit when it came up?
No.
No. Really? I don't think it was.
No, it was not.
No sequels.
Yeah.
They thought it would be Indiana Jonesy. And I think it worked, but for whatever reason...
Well, I think that was a mistake. They called it Indiana Jonesy.
Wrong
market.
People were disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know how they could have marketed it any better. It had a successful comic that it was based on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had Jennifer Connelly at her yummy McConnelliest. Holy cow.
Yeah.
The young hero was a likable young chap that went on to other things.
Yeah.
I don't know what else he did.
No, but he had, I just don't get it.
Had a fight on a dirigible, on a blimp?
Exactly. Yeah, you can't beat that.
So did Indiana Jones.
But this is on the
board. Oh, on the top. He wasn't just tossing some Nazi on
No, they definitely upped the ante on that one.
Wow, they were on it.
They shot some interiors in a Frank Lloyd Wright house in L.A., in Beverly Hills. Mm. I don't, hardly anybody knows that. Nope. To be fair, nobody cares.
Maybe not.
But Frank Lloyd Wright does.
He does. Well, his...
Was it the same house they filmed the Blade Runner stuff inside? They did Blade Runner stuff.
I think it is. I think it is the same house.
Flank Lloyd Lighthouse. Yeah, I once banged my boat into the Frank Lloyd Lighthouse.
That's the Errol Flynn kicking. Errol Flynn because he drank his pick-me-up.
Ever been the designated driver?
Oh,
it's a lot like listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I guess so. That's why, if we were smart, we would get people, we can say what we're going to do, they would have the ingredients amassed in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, when they started the click button, when they hit the old play button on the thing they do, they'd be able to mix it up as we go along.
What would they do for the last 45 minutes?
Shake their head.
Disapprovingly?
Mm-hmm.
Research how to unsubscribe to an iTunes podcast? Yeah. I don't know.
Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder.
Sure.
Marvel.
Is this some sort of a, segue into the Avengers movie?
I don't know. Hey, you seen Black Panther?
No.
No, either have I.
I'm waiting for the lineups. Now, it's gotten such buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta wait.
People seem to like it.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm in. I'm gonna see it, but I'm gonna wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's his...
Good night! This has got more false endings than an L.A. King pantomime.
And more obscure references.
Than an L.A. King pantomime?
Than an L.A. King pantomime.
We love you, Ellie.
We do. We do. We have a lot of false endings here. But who's famous for false endings?
Us?
Yes.
Correct.
Good point. Okay. Yeah. Well,
the gentlemen of elegant leisure and our false endings.
Yeah.
I got one more thing. It's sort of like a Columbo. Actually, it's just one more thing.
That's right. We're the Columbo podcast. I feel like we have more to
don't offer. Leave town is what I wanted to say.
I feel like we have stories to tell. There was something that I wanted to mention, but I have nothing.
Yeah, write it down in your notes for next time.
That's right. I'm going to get a notebook, and I'm going to write down on it notes.
I'm getting a journal.
Oh, and you'll read it?
Yep.
And then I'm working on a theme song for the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all coming together.
We should get that probably next year sometime.
Mm-hmm. I have high hopes.
Mm-hmm.
I have high hopes.
We can't use high hopes.
What?
That's already canceled.
Because I have high hopes.
Well.
It's on MP3.
Did you have any Oscar stories?
Once again, didn't win.
You were one of the 27 people who watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Did you see that? You need the other one?
I don't.
So when they he because Kimmel because the last year,
Jimothy Kimmel.
We got time. Oh yeah.
We got time for one more story.
One more story. So last year he brought the tour in to the Dolby Theater.
Yes.
This year, he led a bunch of people to a movie theater across the street. To thank, because they said, well, we should thank, we all thank each other. We thank a lot of people. We should really thank the audience. The audience is really what makes all the
movie-going public.
And how do we thank them? Well, there's people watching a preview of A Wrinkle in Time. They got and so we're going to go over there. Who's coming with me? And so he basically just rounded up a posse.
Mm-hmm.
And they went across the street and marched into the theater. First, it was just him and Gal Gadot, and they were super excited. And then... I don't know. There's a whole bunch of other people like Armie Hammer and the girl that did I, Tonya.
My God, Armie Hammer's still going?
Yeah, he is, that old fella.
This is the young Armie Hammer.
Oh. But anyway, so like eight other people came in and they were throwing candy at everybody.
Guillermo del Toro.
And Guillermo.
Yes.
As well.
And Guillermo.
The two Guillermos. Dueling Guillermos.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was. I thought that was kind of sweet.
Oh,
it was kind of fun.
I thought you were going to poke a hole in that.
No, and it was great. Oh. Everybody was. People were in the audience were laughing, and hardly anybody was using their phones, which was kind of nice. Maybe they've been taken away.
Maybe. I seem to recall somebody with a phone up.
Maybe.
And then it was knocked out of their hand by Armie Hammer's hot dog gun.
Yeah, the hot dog gun. I didn't even know they had hot dog guns. I want a hot dog gun.
Yeah.
I want a hot dog. I should go to Costco on the way home.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, if Errol Flynn knew you, you would be so sore. At him what? All the time.
Oh, yeah. Sure, that's it.
Let
yeah.
me down once again. Now, I let down people a lot of times, too. So oh, yeah. I guess you could call me sort of a modern-day Errol Flynn.
Good point.
Because you can almost count on me not coming through.
And I'm the modern David Niven who comments on disappointment.
I was thinking about disappointment recently.
Good night, everybody.
I was drifting off to sleep.
Crying yourself to sleep.
And I thought...
Softly sobbing into your pillow.
If you were had to go to something...
Yes.
And you expected it to be disappointed by it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out that you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be disappointed?
Disappointed that you weren't disappointed?
Yeah. No, because I don't really want to be disappointed. If you were the kind of person that likes being disappointed...
Right.
Like you expect the world to kick you in the nuts...
There's been places where I've gone.
Then those people...
Yeah.
Would be disappointed because it's like I'm uncomfortable with this feeling of happiness.
Right. I really wanted to be sad.
Yeah, I really be sad. Now I feel kind of happy and it's screw this.
Yeah. I've had that. I've been that guy.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
Okay.
It's not a good no.
Not a healthy way.
No, I don't think so.
It's all that gets me through the day. Certain sense of
no,
dread
no,
foreboding.
No, you gotta get out there and turn your lemons into I don't know, whiskey sours.
Mm, yes, and turn your limes into a nightcap.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you can't make a nightcap, go down to your local establishment.
Oh, please do. These guys are working hard, and they're so excited to see you.
Mm-hmm. They want to make a nightcap. They want to make an Errol Flynn's downfall, or whatever that was called. Errol Flynn's pick-me-up.
They begrudgingly make that for you. But they would tell you it's a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm. They would say, don't bring any of your Errol Flynn friends around here. And you say, I won't, my good man. Thank you very
also because they're not old enough to get into a liquor establishment. That's another problem.
That is correct. Oh, one other thing we should...
No, there's no time.
We were interviewed for an article.
Oh, that's true. There was that.
Which you can't get where you're probably listening.
Can they see it online?
I don't know. Maybe they can see. If we were interviewed, the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure were interviewed for a big, important piece in a local publication.
Mm-hmm. The New Yorker.
Oh, no, wait.
No, it's not the New Yorker.
Sounds like the New Yorker. The Peace Arch News?
I think it might be.
It's called Indulge.
Oh, that's right. They're in-house magazine.
How fitting, though, right? Indulge.
That's us.
Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
We indulge.
Talking about Errol Flynn. So
glad we didn't bring that up.
Indulgent.
Yes. But if we can get a link to it, of course, we will send it to you. And otherwise, we will get extra copies. And if you send us your address, we will mail it to your house.
Yep. Self-addressed stamped envelope.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah. Because otherwise it'll be collect.
This is Fred Partridge. Helps remind you to help control the pet population.
Have your animals spayed or neutered.
So anyway, when you do get your cocktail from this guy...
Oh, yeah, and he hands you the latest copy of Indulge.
Yeah.
And you're leafing through it, reading The Gentleman of Elegant Leisure, and realizing that you yourself are a person of elegant leisure.
Yeah. Mm.
Look that stout yeoman right in the eye. Say, thank you for your service, my good fellow. And
tip big.